Hello and welcome to this week's St. George's Day Festival on the Poem of the Week podcast. Thanks as always for joining me. I'm actually recording this in the afternoon of the 21st of April, which, for what it's worth, is my wedding anniversary. My wonderful wife Susanna and I were married 20 years ago today. So I'll be going out later with her, of course, to have a meal at a local restaurant. But that's by the by. In 2 days from now will be St. George's Day. And St. George's Day is the feast day of the patron saint of England, St. George. So it's if you like, the special day of celebrating my own nation, England. It's our national day, if you like, at least for Catholics and those who relish tradition. So we're going to have on the Poem of the Week podcast this week a celebration of England for St. George's Day, and also a celebration of Shakespeare, because Shakespeare was born on St. George's Day, almost certainly. That's another discussion, on St. George's Day in 1564, and died on St. George's Day in 1616. So 62 years later to the day. England's greatest writer and the greatest Englishman that ever lived, apart from the saints, is William Shakespeare. So it's his birthday, it's death day, and the feast day of St. George, the patron saint of England. So what a better way and what a better day to celebrate England. So welcome to St. George's Day Festival. And I'm going to actually break my own rules a little bit. I haven't read from Shakespeare's plays. I have, in the Poem of the Week, tried to be very strict in reading poems, the poetry. And although, of course, Shakespeare's plays are very poetic, and in the broad sense, the word poesis just means to make or to create. So all literature is poetic in that sense. And indeed, so all music is poetic in that sense. All visual art, all architecture is poetic in that sense. But in the Poem of the Week, I try to be very strict about what we mean, and I read verse, I read poetry. Now, again, this gets tricky with Shakespeare, because, for instance, the famous scene in Romeo and Juliet, the first kiss, the exchange, the dialogue between Romeo and Juliet at that time is actually makes a sonnet, a really beautiful sonnet. So there are poems embedded within Shakespeare's plays. But generally speaking, I've avoided, in fact, I have not yet so far on Poem of the Week quoted from Shakespeare's plays. We've had some of his sonnets. But I'm going to break the rules, because there are two great speeches in Shakespeare, one from Richard II and the other from Henry V, that are some of the most beautiful things written about England. And so I'm going to have those, and I'm going to finish with what has become the unofficial English national anthem, a poem by William Blake. But first of all, this is from King Richard II, by William Shakespeare. The words of John of Gaunt. Methinks I am a prophet new inspired, and thus expiring do foretell of him. His rash, fierce blaze of riot cannot last, for violent fires soon burn out themselves. Small showers last long, but sudden storms are short. He tires betimes, the spurs too fast betimes. With eager feeding, food doth choke the feeder. Light vanity, insatiate cormorant, consuming means, soon preys upon itself. This royal throne of kings, this sceptred isle, this earth of majesty, this seat of Mars, this other Eden, demi-paradise, this fortress built by nature for herself against infection and the hand of war, this happy breed of men, this little world, this precious stone set in the silver sea, which serves it in the office of a wall, or as a moat defensive to a house against the envy of less happier lands. This blessed plot, this earth, this realm, this England, this nurse, this teeming womb of royal kings, feared by their breed and famous by their birth, renowned for their deeds as far from home, for Christian service and true chivalry, as is the sepulchre of stubborn Jewry, of the world's ransom, blessed Mary's son. This land of such dear souls, this dear, dear land, dear for her reputation through the world, is now leased out. I die pronouncing it, like to a tenement or pelting farm. England, bound in with the triumphant sea, whose rocky shore beats back to the envious siege of watery Neptune, is now bound in with shame, with inky blots and rotten parchment bonds. That England, that was wont to conquer others, hath made a shameful conquest of itself. Oh, would the scandal vanish with my life, how happy then were my ensuing death. Beautiful words of William Shakespeare, put into the mouth of John of Gaunt, a character in his play King Richard II, and of course it's speaking about the reign of Richard II, but in words that are very applicable to Shakespeare's own time, so much of his work is, and also very applicable to contemporary England, and for that matter, contemporary America. Okay, let's move on to the second of our speeches from Shakespeare on this St. George's Day festival. This is from the play King Henry V, and the words of King Henry himself, just before the Battle of Agincourt, or Agincourt, if you want to give it the vernacular English pronunciation. This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named, and rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbours and say, tomorrow is St. Crispian. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these were wounds I had on Crispian's day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in his mouth as household words, Harry the King, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his son, and Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, whilst any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day. That sends shivers up my spine, right to the top of my head, it just did then actually, not just because of the beauty and majesty of Shakespeare's word, but because my father used to recite both of those speeches to me when I was a child. So haunted, if you like, by the ghostly presence of my own father. Okay, and we're going to conclude our St. George's Day Festival on the Poem of the Week podcast, celebrating England on this her patronal feast day, and also St. Shakespeare, and this is birthday and death day. We're going to finish with some wonderful lines by William Blake. Let me set to music, and I'm not going to sing it. I could, badly, but I could. It's called Jerusalem. It's become the unofficial English national anthem. And it alludes, just to give some background information before I read it, to the legend that in 63 AD, St. Joseph of Arimathea arrived in England carrying the Holy Grail. In fact, it alludes to another legend referring to St. Joseph of Arimathea, that when Jesus was a boy, that St. Joseph of Arimathea brought him to England. So this wishful thinking, if you like, this pious legend that the English had of the divine presence, of the presence of Christ on the soil of England. So if you like, that which is the heart of the soul of England, England in its heart, hoped would set foot on the soil of England. A pious belief, wishful thinking, perhaps, no doubt. We do know, however, purely historically, that there was a shrine to the Blessed Virgin, a chapel to the Blessed Virgin established in the first century AD. So the actual date of 63 AD for the arrival of Christian missionaries, just 10, 15 years after the arrival of the Romans, is absolutely believable, whether St. Joseph of Arimathea was amongst them. 30 years after the crucifixion is, of course, a moot point, perhaps. But anyway, so that's the whole sequence of legends surrounding the Holy Grail that St. Joseph of Arimathea was supposed to have brought to England. It has its roots in this legend. So now you have the background, you'll understand this wonderful poem by William Blake. And did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the Holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? And did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills? And was Jerusalem builded here among these dark satanic mills? Bring me my bow of burning gold. Bring me my arrows of desire. Bring me my spear, O clouds, unfold. Bring me my chariot of fire. I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land. Thanks so much for joining me in the celebration of my homeland, England, on this feast of St. George and the celebration of Shakespeare. Please do join me next week when we return to the poem of the week. I have no idea what the poem of the week will be next week. I'll decide sometime between now and then. Until then, thanks again for being a member of the Inner Sanctum, for joining me. Until next week, goodbye and God bless.